Today is anniversary of the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami. We consider ourselves followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupanugas. He was given the title Prabhupada, the direct representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to do very important services, along with his brother, older brother, Sanatana Goswami, and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya has hundreds of intimate associates, and they do different services for him. They have different kinds of relationships, various relationships with him. But these six Goswamis were especially given the responsibility of establishing the philosophical basis of this Krishna consciousness movement, not just philosophy, but also the revelation of the glorious pleasure pastimes of Krishna that had mostly been forgotten even among the Vaishnavas for many centuries. In other sampradayas, especially in the last 1,000 or more years, emphasis has been on what is called vicharatmika bhakti. Devotional service based on philosophical discussion, mostly based on the Vedanta Sutra. But in the Vedanta Sutra and in all the philosophical discussions, that debates that go on among the Vaishnavas, debates with and against the Mayavadis, and sometimes against one another, different branches and schools and sub-branches of the Vaishnavas, there isn't that much rasa, intimate rasa, taste of loving exchanges revealed. So that is one style of devotional service, which is appropriate for some, to establish the Siddhanta, to get the proper understanding of our relationship with God in a theoretical way. But there is still a much more advanced, much more sublime aspect of devotional life that was revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He established his own sampradaya, renewed version of the Brahma sampradaya, in which the emphasis on rasatmika bhakti, the nectarian tastes of devotional exchanges with Krishna. This is the essence of life, and knowledge of this rasa, of the science of rasa, is the essence of all knowledge. This is what is Sri Krishna Bhagavan Vrajeshatana, how does it start? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Vajavadu Vargena Yakulpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatrataro Nakparaha. This was written by Srila Srinath Chakravarti. And it enunciates in one verse the doctrine of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, is properly the son of the King of Raja. And his personal place is Sri Vrindavan Dham, the most favorable, meaning favorable to him, mode of worshipping him is that which was done by the young gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless, perfect source of knowledge about this science. And the ultimate goal of life is not mukti, but prema, pure love for Krishna. This is teaching of Lord Chaitanya. This is Rasatmika Bhakti. And he empowered certain of his devotees to establish this doctrine, this science, and teach it to the modern world. Particularly Srila Rupa Goswami is the Rasa Acharya, the authority, the professor on the subject matter of devotional loving exchanges, the taste of devotional reciprocations with Krishna in different moods, different flavors. He was, along with his brother and their nephew, come from a very respectable Brahmin family, originally from Karnataka. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, Sri Narahari Chakravarti, writing in the 18th century, records, actually, and the information is, I think, in the Vaishnava Toshini of Sanatana Goswami also, originally. Actually, you know, it's in Sanskrit. Sanatana Goswami gives this information originally in his Vaishnava Toshini commentary on 10th canto. That, anyway, traces back this account, the genealogy, the family line that produced Sri Rupa and Sanatana, tracing it back 7 generations. Through very respectable devotional brahmanas who by circumstance, political circumstances, had to leave their home of Karnataka and settled first in East Bengal and then a little further in the middle of Bengal. Finally, Rupa and Sanatan, their father, I think, was living near Jessore. I think that's their home place. But they as young men, were invited, or some say forced, by the Muslim government of Nawab Hussein Shah, the governor or king of Bengal at that time, to enter the government service. They were already very well-educated scholars in many languages, including Persian and Urdu, and of course Sanskrit, and they were very competent to help run the government. So Sri Rupa, of course his name then was Santosh, I think, and Sanatana's name was Amara, the names their parents gave them. And Santosh, or Rupa, was made the prime minister. And Sanatana was made the Minister of the Treasury. And they practically ruled the government for Nawab Hussein Shah for a number of years, and they were very successful and very respected. Respected, but the Brahmin community considered them fallen and that they had become practically Muslims by their association with the Muslims. So they were practically considered outcasts by the strict Brahmins, by the pundits and others. And they also felt this stigma, that they felt themselves very degraded by their bad association. They naturally, from their very early youth, were very attracted to the service of Krishna and the remembering of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami was very much attached to studying Srimad Bhagavatam, even as a child. So even while they were doing the government service, they were very eager to find the opportunity to remember and serve Krishna. And then they became acquainted with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they corresponded with him, wrote letters to him, while he was still in Navadvip, asking, how can we, you know, engage in your service, how can we become your associates and leave this material life? They were requesting his mercy so they could just renounce everything and join him. But in response to one of those letters, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote to them, to Rupa and Sanatana, a somewhat enigmatic verse about how a woman, when she has an illicit lover, she actually has to be more diligent in carrying out her household duties, not to let the husband know that something is going on. So he was informing them, do your duty nicely. Don't think about running away at this time. Yeah. You maintain in your heart your desire and continue carrying out your responsibilities, and arrangements will be made. Gradually, arrangements were made. Rupa and Sanatan, after some time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling on his way to Vrindavan, he stopped at Ramakeli, which was not far away from the capital of Goda Desh, the capital of Nawabhasen Shah, where Rupa and Sanatan had their village nearby. So they went to meet Lord Chaitanya at Ramakeli, the first personal meeting. And they fell at his feet. And he gave them his blessings and promised them that they'll be able to join him very soon. After that, they lost all interest in maintaining their material life. Rupa Goswami quit his position and went, I think, met Lord Chaitanya at Benares. Right? Prayag, yeah, Rupa Goswami was instructed by Lord Chaitanya at Prayag. Sanatana Goswami, after some months, also, with more difficulty, left his job, but he was thrown into jail, had to escape jail and run away. He later met Lord Chaitanya at Benares. And then was sent, the two of them, anyway, first of all, Rupa Goswami was instructed for several days by Lord Chaitanya at at Prayaga. And Lord Chaitanya taught him the essence of Rasa Shastra, understanding of relationships of the soul with God. And he empowered Rupa Goswami to be able to understand everything perfectly and reveal the science to the world. He gave him his instruction, his order. Lord Chaitanya ordered him to write books glorifying Krishna and teaching the science of rasa, and to reveal, go to Vrindavan and to rediscover the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. Reestablish the glories of Sri Vrindavan. And he gave similar instructions a little bit later to Sanatana Goswami. And similar empowerment and order. The two of them wandered around and only met each other after about a half a year. And stayed in Vrindavan, except for some time spent with Lord Chaitanya in Puri. They remained the rest of their lives in Vrindavan. The two of them, and then the other Goswamis joined them. Tyaktva tuvana mashesha mandalapati shrenim sadhatu chava bhutva dina ganesha kao korunaya kaupina konta shrito. Before this, they were very powerful men involved in practically running the whole government of the state. And they gave it all up, all their aristocratic association, all the power that they had in their hands, and all the wealth. They just rejected it all and put on the simple garb of renunciant and took up their simple residence in Sri Vrindavan, which at that time was a jungle. There was nothing established there. There was practically no human habitation there. Just a few villagers, monkeys. And in Mathura city, there were the brahmanas and monkeys there. It was practically everything that was covered and lost and forgotten. And it was not an easy place to live when Rupa and Sanatana arrived there 500 years ago. There were wild tigers and other dangers living in the jungle. They settled there, wandered around the countryside, carrying out the order of Lord Chaitanya to discover all the places of Krishna's pastimes. Of course, Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranabha, had established over 500 villages to commemorate various pastimes that Krishna performed in these places. That even the names of the villages had become corrupted, and even that was not complete information to discover the places. With the help of their deities and divine inspiration, they discovered these places. And they also spent some time sitting down and writing books, because that was also the order of late Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa was a very prolific author, especially a very great poet and dramatist, very excellent and exceptional writer of drama and other poetry. Unfortunately, the modern world doesn't recognize the genius of Sri Rupa Goswami because his works are too devotional, too much focused on Krishna and Radharani and their pastimes that mundaners cannot appreciate. They consider his language to be artificial and this and that, sectarian literature that is not much interest to them. But actually, this is the greatest poetry. And there are many great poets in our line, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many Kavirajas, but Rupa Goswami is one of the greatest, maybe the greatest poet. And he wrote a number of very important books. In the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he explained scientifically, systematically, in actually a very concise style, very terse textbook style, with many examples, verses quoted, and actually most of the verses in that book are written by Rupa Goswami himself, rather than quoted from other authors. But between the verses, there are just simple, short explanations. It is not a very elaborate book as far as the language goes. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu is considered the Vyakarana, or the grammar book of rasa. In other words, rasa is like a language. There are six different, or rather seven plus five, 12 different rasas. And so many bhavas, ecstasies, that compose these rasas. Just like the words in a language are inflected, you put endings on them, and then combine them into sentences. You have to learn grammar, to learn in a particular language how to do that. So Rupa Goswami wrote the grammar book explaining the language of rasa, how these bhavas combine, how it's done appropriately, how it's done inappropriately. This is the textbook on which all rasa shastras have to be founded. You know, the principles of rasa are taught in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu standard textbook of information. And he chose not to thoroughly describe the intimate aspects of Madhurya Rasa, the fifth rasa, in that book. He left that for a separate book that doesn't necessarily have to be read by all the devotees. Those who have the proper qualification can study the Ujjvala Nilamani, second book, which specifically goes into very great detail of the different components of Madhurya Rasa. These two books are probably his most important books. That is systematic textbook presentation. But he was also a very excellent poet, and he wrote two dramas that are very famous about Krishna's pastimes. One, Vidugdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. One about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan with Radharani, another about Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, and how the gopis are reborn as the queens in Dwarka and meet Krishna again. In both these books, there's a lot of expression of the feelings of separation. So in one way, in one sense, these books are sad to read. You know, they make one feel very much separation from Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami was sort of disturbed after reading these books, that the impression was so deep on him. So Srila Rupa, for the pleasure of Raghunath Das Goswami, composed another book, not a drama per se, but actually a one-act drama, a short play, about one of Krishna's pastimes around the neighborhood here, Danakeli Komudi, about Krishna's pastime of being the toll collector and his quarrels with the gopis over that matter. Very delightful and enjoyable short drama. And he also wrote many books of assorted poetry. He collected many of his shorter poems. I guess he didn't himself collect it, one of his disciples did, the Stavamala, collection of Rupa Goswami's stavas, or prayers, some very short, some longer, mostly glorification of Krishna and his pastimes. And then Rupa Goswami also compiled a collection, an anthology, of various shlokas about Krishna, written by all sorts of authors from the past. This was his Padyavali. So these are the major texts of Rupa Goswami. He also, just as some say that Rupa Goswami wrote the original version of the grammar Harinam Vyakarana. Some others say that Sanatana Goswami wrote the Laghu, short version. And then some may doubt that the short version came first at all. Anyway, whether he wrote it or not, he also did write some books to teach practical language skills or other skills that a Vaishnava author needs, and even a proper Vaishnava audience should know about. So he wrote what we have still existing are two books. One is short book, Nataka Chandrika, in which he describes the theory of how to write a drama, or how an educated member of the audience should be able to listen to and appreciate a drama by understanding what's going on, how the plot should be constructed, different parts of the plot, and different elements that should be included in a proper drama. And he gives example from his own play, Lalita Madhava, to show how it's done. And then another book is in the realm of grammar, or rather vocabulary. He wrote a book called Prayukta Akhyata Manjari, which we also have. Both of these books exist. And that is simply a glossary or a list, not with definitions, just a list. Well, yes, definitions. He groups under categories of basic meanings. All sorts of verbs that are actually used in the classical language of Sanskrit. Panini mentioned verbs that aren't used in regular classical Sanskrit. And based on the verb list of Panini, someone previously wrote, what was it called? Yeah. Something else, Madri. What? Akhyata Chandrika. Which was an earlier written and became standard textbook, source book of list of verbs grouped according to meanings. But a lot of those verbs were out of use. They were ancient words. So Rupa Goswami simply took that book and revised it and republished it as a Prayukta, or verbs that are in use, prayukta akyata manjari. We have that book. It can be useful, very useful for studying vocabulary. Jiva Goswami gives a list of roots, but when you add upasargas to those roots, you end up with a lot more verbs. There are only about, Jiva Goswami has maybe 2,200 verbs in his list. Really, only 1,200? Pandini has 2,000 or some more, but I guess Jiva Goswami has already narrowed it down to only 1,200 verbs on his list. But those are the roots. By adding upasargas, you multiply the number of verbs, and they have various meanings, and they're actually useful. So Rupa Goswami has listed all the different verbs with upasargas. Not all. He's listed about 4,000 or so? Yeah. But verbs that someone who wants to be a real knower of Sanskrit should know. Be familiar with what they mean and how they're used. That book is there. That's for those who are studying how to write Sanskrit, how to know Sanskrit very well. In that way, Rupa Goswami is very prolific, teaching us the essence of loving relationship with Krishna, and also the auxiliary skills that someone could use in presenting and studying these subject matters. Anyway, today is the disappearance day. He disappeared over 400 years ago. But still, his influence is very much felt in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Hardly anyone who claims to be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya can deny that he's also a follower of Sri Rupa Goswami. We have different branches, so they're following different acharyas, coming down different lines, different vamshas, parivaras. But everyone, I think, among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas claims a spiritual connection with Srila Rupa Goswami. So today is a day of special remembrance of him. Maybe someone else has something to add? You want to tell? Please. Okay, why don't you put this on?
I wasn't prepared to speak in English. I remember one pastime that one time a certain devotee, when there was Bhagavat Katha going on, there was an assembly of Vaishnavas sitting to listen, and one devotee was sitting next to Rupa Goswami. So the topic was something about separation from Krishna and so on. And at a certain point, the devotee who was sitting next to Rupa Goswami, his arm started getting burnt by the hot breathing of Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami was so much burned by feeling the separation of Radha and Krishna just by hearing about it. And so his breath that was coming out was burning the arm of this Vaishnava. Did you also hear that? I remember hearing something that Rupa Goswami would often, a lot of these astakams and so on, he'd just be walking along and composing them, and Jiva Goswami would have to literally hear them and remember them and.
Srila Rupa Goswami Tiro Bhav Maha Mahotsav Ki
That was at Terakadamba. Okay. I just vaguely remembered the pastime. Yeah.
Quite often, Heaven's Room is not so far by the family. So quite often, yes. So not when they get together.
Oh, okay. That the pastime about Rupa Goswami is hot breathing? Oh, okay, wow. Did you hear anything about that? That thing that Rupa Goswami would often hear?
Yes.
Yeah, I just remember hearing that. I'm not sure if it's bona fide.
Would you like to distribute this at
Shabbat
time?
Sure.
I was chanting down at Rupa Goswami's Samadhi this morning.
Oh, okay.
Krishna Kishore,
Prabhu, and
made remnants from
Prabhupada's Mahārāja. Oh, wow. Okay, wow, Jay. Thanks.